T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, Lee.
Hi there, Tara.
All right, so fascinating new stats on manufacturing jobs. This always blows my mind because we were told by Obama that the manufacturing jobs of the past were not going to come back. And we weren't just told this, in all fairness, by Obama. We were told this also by the Republicans. They weren't coming back. Don't even try. Just go get some skills training. What's wrong with you? We can't have manufacturing jobs. And as the Republicans sat on their hands and did nothing, and the Democrats did worse than nothing. They mocked Trump for suggesting we could ever grow again at more than 2% rate, right? So here's Obama. Jobs of the past are not coming back.
Some of those jobs of the past are just not going to come back. And when somebody says, like the person you just mentioned, who I'm not going to advertise for, that he's going to bring all these jobs back, well, how exactly are you going to do that? What are you going to do? There's no answer to it. He just says, "Well, I'm going to negotiate a better deal." Well, how?
Okay, manufacturing jobs in the U.S. Now growing at 10 times the rate in Trump's 21 months of Obama's last 21 months in office. So that's not a blip. That's not, well, you know, Obama fixed it, but then Trump just inherited it. 10 times the rate. It is massive. It is massive to see this. And it really does a psychological thing on you, because when both parties have told you their jobs aren't coming back, we'll never manufacture again, we can't compete, and that turns out to be such a lie, and Trump demonstrates it, it makes you wonder what other lies they've told you about why we were poor.
I thought that for quite some time, Tara.
You know?
Yeah.
I think it's really making folks begin to question stuff. I mean, I think when you start to see these shifts in millennials, black people now beginning to doubt what they've been told, I think it's because we're having it demonstrated for us that we didn't have to be poor. They just told us we did. And here's what's remarkable about this. This is from the Texas Public Policy Foundation. It's a editorial in Investor's Business Daily. Okay, why are we seeing this manufacturing boom? If you've got one of those friends that say, "Oh, it's just Obama, it's just delayed." Okay, tell me what the policy was.
Exactly.
Tell me. By the way, in all the time I've been challenging people to do this, it's been months now, I have never gotten a phone call, not one, with somebody who can explain to me specifically what the Obama policy was that caused the boom.
Right.
That Trump
exactly.
inherited. What
exactly.
was the policy? I have yet to hear that from anybody. Okay.
Well, you won't hear it because there were none. Because every policy out there was to diminish the power, presence, and economic success of this country. Period. That
Absolutely.
Was the goal.
It was. Well, here's Investor's Business Daily. A significant part of America's manufacturing boom is attributable to a key change in the tax code signed into law in December 2017. So this is an actual concrete thing. This isn't just people like Trump, so the economy got fixed. That's not what happened. The new law encouraged U.S. companies with corporate earnings sitting overseas, avoiding high U.S. corporate taxes, to bring that cash back to American shores. Some $300 billion out of what the Federal Reserve estimated to be $1 trillion in multinational enterprises' profits that had been kept offshores was sent home in the first quarter of 2018. $300 billion out of $1 trillion sent home in the first quarter of 2018 alone. And now we're seeing a manufacturing boom. Of course we are. In fact, I mean, I don't know, and I should save the audio when, like, Rush does. I predicted this down to the dollar amount and the jobs boom in actual numbers, because we know for every $1 billion invested, you get 7,000 jobs. And so people like Jamie Dimon, Hillary Doner, who's the head of J.P. Morgan Chase, were able to actually say in concrete terms, hey, if we pass the Trump tax plan, this is how many jobs we're going to get through the repatriation of the money that had been hiding offshores from our confiscatory tax policy. So you could actually project the jobs. That's how I was able to predict this, using the stats provided by people a lot smarter than I am, who know a lot more than I do. And yet, incredibly, even though I was able to predict this a year in advance, what would happen, because Jamie Dimon wouldn't shut up about it. And folks like him wouldn't shut up about, wow, I mean, think how many jobs we've had. Think of the economic growth. I mean, you've got the World Bank, you've got the Fed predicting the growth rate that we would have. And guess what? We have it now. This was all very predictable. We knew beforehand what would happen. And yet for decades, we wouldn't darn do it. And now we've got all these people. No, it's Obama's. You're taking credit for Obama's surge. Call me right now and tell me what policy of Obama's led to this. I want to know. Because I can give you specifically in dollar terms what policy of Trump's led to this. I can explain it in a concrete way. I bet you can. And that's the thing here. I mean, so not only has Trump shattered these psychological things, these universal rules we had accepted. We won't manufacture again. We're not going to grow again. Do you have a magic wand? Listen, if Obama had done something that caused these manufacturing jobs to come back, would he have answered that question that way, Lee?
No, of course not.
Would he have said, no, just hold on. I've got my policies
exactly.
in place. It's going to work out. They'll be coming back.
Yeah.
No. He's asked if the jobs are coming back. He says, no, they're not coming back because he didn't have a policy in place that was going to bring them back.
Well, the policies were in place to make sure they didn't come back.
Exactly.
Those jobs of the past are just not going to come back. And when somebody says, like the person you just mentioned, who I'm not going to advertise for, that he's going to bring all these jobs back. Well, how exactly are you going to do that?
That is not a man who put things in place that are now bringing the jobs back belatedly.
Yeah.
It's not that. He would say, hold on. No, I've got all my policies in place. Here's how they're going to come back. You're just going to have to wait. He didn't, because he's got nothing in place to bring these jobs back. They didn't want them back.
Exactly.
They want a welfare-dependent population
right.
dependent on them.
And they wanted to diminish the power and presence of this country because of social justice. This country is too rich. It is too prosperous. It has got things too easy. It has done this on the backs of the rest of the world, and we've got to pay a price for it. That was
yep.
the mentality.
Yes.
And still is the mentality to this day of his party.
Now, okay, so think about this for a minute. $300 billion injected into our economy in just the first quarter of 2018 because of the tax code changes, and the Democrats want to take back the tax cuts. Think about that for
yeah.
a minute.
Mm-hmm.
They are literally running on. We have, Trump has increased by a factor of 10 times the manufacturing job creation over Obama's last 21 months in office. And we want to roll that back. That is literally what they're running on.
And just imagine what the Democrat victory would do to the stock market. You know, all those claims that, Trump gets elected, stock market's going to tank. It did exactly the opposite the day
yep.
he was inaugurated.
Yeah, now it's going to go down in the future. Scott, it's overheated.
I know.
You and I have been saying that for years.
But I'm talking about a major course correction because
yes.
the profitability of American corporations will diminish. The growth in this economy will slow or come to a stop, because that's what will happen when you have policies that increase taxes on businesses and on individuals, and increase regulations and make it harder for this country to compete abroad and against imports coming into this country. And then, of course, what they want to do with the labor market. It's obvious. It's economic 101.
Yep. By the way, I have nobody on the line now.
And you
these liberal trolls to volunteer to tell me what policy was it of Obama's. I would be fascinated to know.
They're probably trying to Google it right now.
Right, yeah, Google it. Go to Snopes.com. They'll tell you the truth.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they totally will. You believe what's on Snopes.com. Again, I've got some beautiful beachfront property in Pickens County I'd like to sell you. Very reasonable.
Yes.
Yeah, no, you don't need to see it first. Just take my word for it.
Of course.
Did you see this? For the first time in U.S. political history, a prostitute has had to pay a politician. Not the other way around. Yeah, a judge dismisses the Stormy Daniels lawsuit against Trump. He did not defame her and orders her to pay his legal fees. Awesome. Meanwhile, Elizabeth Warren, folks. Okay. Let me set this up properly, okay? This woman wants to run for president. If she were a Republican and had done everything she's done, lied about her heritage in order to get a tenured position at Harvard, allowed the university to list her as a person of color when she knows darn well she's not. If she was a Republican, everywhere she goes, there'd be people of color dogging her, mocking her. Everywhere she goes, forget, she wouldn't go anywhere because she wouldn't be elected to anything. This would never be forgiven if a Republican did what she did. But I want to set this up correctly. Okay, you've probably by now heard all about the test she took. And she's now gone taking the test. Ha! President Trump needs to pay up because I'm a Cherokee. Well, ma'am, no, not exactly. But let's look at the original lie that she told, okay? Because this whole idea, well, a DNA test, she's got a tiny little bit in there, so she's right. Now, listen to the original story, okay? Here's the story. The story she told was about her parents' engagement. Now, keep in mind this whole time, we now know that the percentage of possible Cherokee DNA in her blood is anywhere between 1/64th and 1/1024th. Okay? By the way, that is less than the average white American has. She is more white than the average white American in terms of having Indian ancestry. So she's basically just proven that everything she said was a lie. Now, let's not forget how this started, because the liberal media would like you to forget. Listen to her tell this story.
Actually, you have it wrong about what it is I believe. Mm-hmm. Let's start there.
Tell us what it is.
Okay. My mom and dad were very much in love with each other, and they wanted to get married. And my father's parents said, absolutely not. You can't marry her because she's part Cherokee and she's part Delaware. And after fighting it as long as they could, my parents went off. They eloped. It was an issue in our family the whole time I grew up about these two families. It was an issue still raised at my mother's funeral. So what I know about my parents is I know that in that little town they grew up in, that my father's parents knew enough about my mother and her family.
So you have no doubt.
To say, I have no doubt.
Well, let's assume then that that's the fact, that you're 1/32nd.
No, that doesn't tell you. Don't do that.
Well, why shouldn't I do that? But that is the fact,
no,
is it not?
No, it is not.
Why not?
It's not about the number. There are lots of people who
forget
are not enrolled in tribes.
Forget the number.
So they eloped. One problem. Their wedding announcement was in the paper. Yeah. And so the idea that everybody knew, you know, that about the ancestry, the Indian ancestry, and that's why my parents, you know, they just, the intolerance and all, they couldn't get married. Well, that's a crock. That whole story is a crock, as proved by this test. Seriously, you have less Indian blood than the average white American, on average. Now, the average white American has, what is it, 0.19 to, oh, it's in here, I can't find it. Anyway, she's got less on average. And here's another problem with this. The Cherokee Nation has now blasted Elizabeth Warren's DNA test as a mockery and inappropriate. Why is that? Why do they consider that a mockery and inappropriate? Because, well, I'll let them explain it. In a blistering statement, Cherokee Nation Secretary of State Chuck Hoskin Jr. writes, a DNA test is useless to determine tribal citizenship. Current DNA tests do not even distinguish whether a person's ancestors were indigenous to, North or South America. It's because these DNA tests go much further back than that. They look at haplogroup. So they would go much further back than the current Cherokee population. That's what the problem is. This is an important fact, especially true of Warren's DNA test, which did not include any American Indian DNA whatsoever to compare her results with. Buried in the Boston Globe story is this bombshell. To make up for the lack of Native American DNA, the guy who did the test used samples from Mexico, Peru, and Colombia to stand in for Native American. In other words, all Warren's DNA test really proves is she might be 1/64th to 1/1024th Mexican, Peruvian, or Colombian, as they share the same DNA haplogroup. What's more, while some tribes are willing to accept 1/16th ancestry, they are not willing to do so through unreliable DNA tests. What they want to see is actual genealogy. The DNA tests are only used to prove, okay, yeah, here's my genealogy chart, and I can prove with my DNA test that I am, you know, my grandfather's daughter. He's my grandfather. I can prove that. But they don't use DNA tests to prove you're Cherokee. In part because you can't really do it. But aside from the elopement story, which is a total lie, between 1980, and by the way, no DNA test is going to fix that. Oh, they eloped. Well, why was their wedding announcement in the paper before they got married? Between 1987 and 1995, Warren identified herself as a Native American while she was teaching law at the University of Pennsylvania Law School and Harvard. Well, I mean, if she's a Native American, then we're all Native American. And just, you know what bothers me? But I don't really care about her ancestry. I don't care. The problem with this is, again, what the left gets away with versus what the right gets away with. She would never have made it to the Senate as a Republican. They would have crucified her for that. Mocked her. There would be minorities following her around who didn't get the job because she did. I mean, it would go on and on. Oh, by the way, this is even better. Lineage studies reveal Elizabeth Warren's 132nd ancestor rounded up Cherokee Indians during the Trail of Tears. Stunning discovery about the life of O.C. Sarah Smith Crawford is that her husband, Ms. Warren's great-great-grandfather, was apparently a member of the Tennessee militia that rounded up Cherokees from their family homes, herded them into government-built stockades like cattle, and then that was the point of origin for the horrific Trail of Tears, which was a genocide. And she doesn't claim that, since there's actually evidence for that. I don't know if you've seen this. It caught my attention because it's the exact same kind of thing that could happen to anybody at any time. You go from an anonymous person who violates an unwritten rule of political correctness, and before you know it, you're vilified before the entire nation as a racist. What you thought is assumed, you're out of a job, you're unemployable, and you're up the creek. Very interesting video here, and the man in the video is black. He lives in a loft apartment building, I guess. I don't know if it's a condo or apartment. I don't know. And he comes in. He's confronted by a woman walking her dog. This is at night. She says, listen, and I'm not going to play the whole thing again for you. I played it earlier so you could hear it and judge it for yourself. She says, listen, you didn't key fob in. You didn't hit the code. Do you live in this building? And he starts rolling tape on her and basically telling her, I don't have to answer to you. And it goes back and forth between the two of them. And if you want to hear it, you could hear it on the podcast. Well, this story is being run as white woman confronts black man because she assumes he doesn't live in the building. Key part left out of a lot of this coverage. She says to him, I didn't see you code in. I didn't see you use your key fob. And he gets hostile with her right away. So she is assumed to be a racist. She doesn't say anything racist. He is assumed to be the victim. And I asked a question earlier today. Okay, so she's out of a job after this video went viral, ended up on all the national networks. The media uses this to convince Democrats they need to stay on the black Democrats, they need to stay on the plantation to be protected from people like this. I mean, I'm still left asking, wait a minute. What are the rules at that condo or apartment building? You're supposed to key in? You're supposed to use your fob? Had there been any incidents there? And I'm asking, wondering this. If he'd been a white man, would she still have a job? I bet she would. Would this have gone viral? Oh, heck no. No. For questioning whether he's supposed to be there when she doesn't see him take any of the security precautions? No, it wouldn't have gone viral. No, she would just be, look, she's probably a Me Too victim. We all saw what happened to Christine blah, blah Ford. She's right to be concerned. I mean, she should be terrified of him, but he's black. Rules are different. If she had done exactly this thing to a white man, nobody would have cared. In fact, they would have faulted him for not saying, hey, ma'am, listen, let me show you. I'll go over here and key in for if that would make you feel safer. It's what a decent person does. They don't roll tape and refuse to comply. They just don't. Now, did she go too far with it? Yeah, she did. It's the kind of thing where he won't cooperate, then you call the management, you call the police. If you think somebody's in your building who shouldn't be there because you didn't see him key in, you didn't see him code it. Let's flip the script again. Suppose this had been a black woman and he was a white man. Think she'd be without a job this morning? Of course not. She didn't see him key in. And she didn't see him code it. Of course she wouldn't be fired. Why fire her for that? She just had legitimate security concern. This is the problem in our country, is the double standard by race. Mark, you disagree.
Yes, I agree. I disagree. I think you raised some valid points, but here's the thing. The door was already unlocked. He already used his fob. If you look at the video, the complete video, she's preventing him from going into the building. It's not like she opened the door for him. So what is she's essentially saying, I don't believe you.
Well, hold on. Let me play it, okay? Because I got to keyed up to that point. Let's just talk about what happened between the two of them. Here it is. Listen.
As someone who's from Portland,
Wait, wrong one. Here we go.
property manager. You're not Mike Herman.
No, but I live here.
Okay, and I live here too. You're not Mike Herman. You're not Rick.
I don't like the fact you have your phone in my face.
Okay, I don't like the fact that you're blocking me for where I pay.
All I'm asking is what unit.
But you're not, I don't need to tell you that information, ma'am.
If you want to come into my building.
It's not your building. You're not the owner. You pay rent.
Sir, you walked up on a street.
Yes, and I've already buzzed in. I've already
you
used
did
one.
Not.
Okay, man, it does not even matter. Can you get out of my way?
No, can you show me the...
So he says he buzzed in, Mark. She says you did not. So you can see what attracted her attention. It's not, well, you're black and you don't belong in my building. She's saying you did not buzz in. To me, a decent person, especially if you want to prove her wrong, man. This woman's in your face. You're mad at her. You're videoing her. Walk over with your key fob and just give her the peace of mind of fobbing in. And then, you know what? And then make fun of her for whatever you accept. What'd you say?
The door is already open. Like, he is, but the only way to open that door is through a fob or a code. It's not like she opened the door for
No, you don't know
said,
that. You don't. You gotta, no, you don't know in. That. That's what's and not it, been covered. You can and hear
actually,
it discussed
if you
on this video.
The whole news, he did say
no,
that
no. Now you've said. Yeah, but he said that he did, and she said that he didn't.
To prove to her, and here's her problem. Her problem is, I live in a really nice place. I know what the rent is. There's no way a black man can afford
that.
Oh,
no,
that's
Mark.
The reason why.
Nope. Nope. How do you know she thought that?
That's the
How
reason.
Do you know she? You don't know that, Mark. See, this is the problem
the
in this country.
I know that
you
attribute.
No, no. You would. You don't know Jack, Mark. You attribute a thought process to a person you don't even know based on a video. This is what's wrong with this country. I can only deal with the facts. She states she didn't see him fob it. That's her perspective. You assume she thinks. See, this. You must be a liberal. You know what everybody else thinks, and so you have to take corrective action, Mark. Tell me something. I just put you on hold. Listen, all right, you go. You have your say. How do you know for a fact that's what she thought? You explain that to me, Mark.
Because
you explain
why would she harass him all the way up to the unit to watch him open the unit, and instead of apologizing, saying, you know what, neighbor, I was completely wrong. Let me take you out to lunch. Let me get to know you. She still threatens to call the police on him.
Mark, okay, you're wasting my time. You still have not proven that you know what she thought. She is stating there, right there, she doesn't say, oh, you don't belong in the building. Any of the things you're saying, Mark, she's saying you didn't fob in. He's saying, yes, I did. She's saying you didn't. A decent human being goes, okay, I'm going to prove it to you, and smashes the fob up there. That's what they do. He wouldn't cooperate with her. He dragged it on. Listen, what drives me nuts about this, Mark, you have just done the thing the mainstream media did. Well, we know what she was thinking. No, you don't. You do not know. And this is what's wrong in this country. You are condemned as a racist and destroyed for what people think you must be thinking. There is nothing in this video, Mark. There is nothing of any kind in which she expresses sentiments like, I didn't think you would, you belong in this building.
Mom and-
it's maddening. Anyway, you've just made my point. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. And you know perfectly well this would have never happened the other way around if it was a white guy. Texter writes, Mark is a bigot, a hateful anti-white bigot. Texter writes, why did he not just ask to see her key fob? She showed it to him. Then they could have showed each other their rightful entry into that building and all would have been solved. In other words, he should have asked to see hers. She could have seen his. That way they would have both been assured they both belong in the building. Well, she doesn't see his until he twists in the door and goes in through the door. He could have pulled it out before. He just wanted a good video to share on the news. Well, they did a bad job with that child. Look at the mess they're in. Ever heard anybody say that? Yeah, we as parents, man, we take it on the chin, don't we? At least I do. I don't know. A lot of parents do. Blame ourselves for everything that goes wrong with our kids. But was it us or somebody else that had the most effect? Interesting, fascinating new group of studies. Are siblings more important than parents? I don't know about more important, but very important. This comes from a group of studies. When a sibling relationship is bad, it can be really bad, as in messing up your life bad. Tense sibling relationships make people more likely to use substances and to be depressed and anxious in adolescence. Moreover, sibling bullying makes a kid more likely to engage in self-harm as a teen and to become psychotic by age 18. Holy cow. One study found that siblings who felt positively about each other tended to achieve similar education levels. While those who spent unequal time with their dad and perceived unequal parental treatment had diverging educational fortunes. Wow. Emulating your siblings is another study. Emulating your siblings can be a mistake depending on what she's up to. Girls are more likely to get pregnant in their teens, and teens are more likely to engage in risky behavior if an older sibling did so first. Younger siblings also may have sex earlier than the older ones, partly because their big brother or sister introduced them to more experienced potential partners. Oh, what a mess. Anyway, you know, so far, I have never heard anybody say this. Have you? Oh, he turned out bad. They must have done a bad job parenting. How the siblings turn out. You know, there's got to be something to this. Think about this. You look, especially with older brothers and sisters, boy, do you look up to them. And one of the things that cracks me up about Crash that I've noticed is he's got two older, you know, siblings, and they will chase each other around the house, usually screaming because you can't run without screaming, right? I don't know why they scream. And so one, you know, one will be trying to poke the other with something. Like, I mean, they're having fun. It's not a fight or anything. And, you know, it'll start, one will poke one, one will poke the other, usually with their lightsabers, sometimes with something else. And Crash will run behind them screaming. I said, why are you running behind them screaming? They're not even chasing you. They're chasing each other. He doesn't know. They're just running in a circle, so screaming, so he feels he should be too. And they'll reverse direction, and he'll go screaming in the other direction. They're not even paying attention to him. They're after each other. And he's having a ball, so it doesn't matter. But it just goes to show you how much they mimic each other, even when the mimicking doesn't even make sense. I mean, it doesn't, like, you know, what is the purpose of running and screaming? Nobody knows. We're just doing it because everybody else does. That's how siblings are. I just love to know. I mean, I have never heard that before. That struck me this morning. Did you have a sibling who messed up your life? Or, on the other hand, do you have a sibling who saved your life? Maybe you had crappy parents. And man, without that sibling, you would not have come through the way you did. Maybe you have a sibling who practically raised you. Your parents were able. I would just love to know. Does that ring a bell with you? Well, my life was going great. My parents were doing a good job, but then my brother, blah, 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 and I got involved with the wrong crowd. I went to prison. I mean, I don't know. I have never thought of that before. But it makes perfect sense. Heck, in some ways, you probably take the stuff your siblings say more seriously than you take your parents. Your parents say to you, no, you're good looking. No, you shouldn't be down on yourself. You're like, it's mom. Of course she's going to tell me that. Your sister says, ugly. It's internalized forever. See what I'm saying? She didn't even mean it. She forgot about it 20 minutes later. Just fascinating. Love to hear from you. 800-347-1063. Text line 71307. Texter writes, that's it. My kids are never leaving the house. No, what are you going to mean? You can't even go out anymore. Texter writes, the audio recording was a poor choice. The person recording obviously wanted to escalate the problem and not solve it. Who does he work for? As an employer, he is the type of employee that would sue me at the drop of a hat. I don't think I would want him in my office. Interesting take. You couldn't fire him, though. You'd be called a racist. Unless you're black, then you can do whatever you want. Texter writes, hey, Tara Scott here. If the lady on the video is racist and thought her thought process was so clear, why did all the MSM edit the video to admit her true concern that she voiced? That's why I played the whole thing earlier in the show. Your show is the only outlet that I have seen or heard that left the question about the keypad in. Yeah, because it ruins a good racial narrative. Listen, I got an email from a guy a minute ago. Listen, you know what he said? He said, listen, I get it because I'm a guy. I get that women are sometimes concerned about men. I would have just keyed in on the keypad. Now think about it. Would he not have had a better video if he was like, listen, woman, you're judging me wrong. Look, I'll prove it to you. I'm going to key it in. And then he could have turned it on. Or if your whole goal is to make a video about how you're the victim of racial oppression. But he didn't. He drives it and drives it and drives it and drives it. I'm not putting the blame entirely on him. She should have dropped it. She went way too far. There's fault on both sides. It's just this unequivocal condemnation. And we had textbook liberal just call us. Well, she did that because she judged him as not being able to afford the rent because he's black. How do you know that? You don't know that. For all you know, she's got a biracial black son. You don't know. I am sick and tired of how Americans assume the worst of each other when it comes to race and on their assumptions condemn someone and destroy their entire life.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.